My guest at this time is Jim Garrow. He is the runner-up for the Nobel Peace Prize a few years ago, and he's also the author of The Pink Pagoda, One Man's Quest to End Gendercide in China. If you haven't heard that interview, please check our archives because it's certainly worth your time and to look at Jim's excellent work trying to save especially baby girls in China. But Jim is in the news for another reason today, and that's what we'll talk about for the next few minutes. The Examiner, among other publications, is reporting and quoting Jim, saying that President Obama is essentially purging out generals from the U.S. military who would refuse to fire on Americans. And so he joins us now to provide a little bit more detail about how he learned this and what exactly that means. And Jim, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's nice to be back. I'll just launch right in here. I got a call yesterday morning, 7:30 my time. I'd just gotten up and had made coffee. The phone rang, which was unusual at that time in the morning. And it was a gentleman I hadn't heard from in a few years, but I can say this, that he is a military hero in your country and a name that everyone would recognize. And so, I took note the minute he started to speak because I met him, and I've actually spent a night at his home and been to a homecoming game at his alma mater with him as his guest. And he phoned me because he was quite distressed about what was going on with people he had encouraged to join the military. And what he was relating to me was that they were being pushed into answering basically a question that said, would you violate the Constitution? Would you fire on people who, within their constitutional rights of being able to have firearms, would not surrender them when asked to surrender them to whatever authority? And in this one particular instance, he had a gentleman who had risen to the highest rank and in his branch of the service and had called this gentleman to say that he had resigned his commission because he had been asked to give this response, which he couldn't in good conscience agree to because he felt that it was not only a breach of his oath of allegiance to America, but to the Constitution, and that it was a breach of the Constitution.
And does he believe that this is widespread, or is he basing this mainly on the conversation that he's had with this one person?
He called me because he feels that it's now becoming widespread, whether just in the military or actually in the ranks of government offices where a new regime of people have moved in. And folks who have been there for many years are being squeezed out because they don't speak the party line of Obama and crew.
And this is essentially related to the debate over the Second Amendment, or are there other aspects to it too?
Well, primarily, this is why he called me. It had to do with the Second Amendment. Because ultimately, it's the fear of Obama and crew is that the public will rise up in rebellion against his government as they break the Constitution.
Is it just a matter of the laws he's already been pushing? Are there other ideas that are coming down the pike here, perhaps, that lead him to suspect that there will be armed resistance?
My conversation over the hour, and it was an hour-long conversation, this wasn't a short one, we covered a lot of things, but his concern is that America is at a crisis moment and that Americans do not know what Obama is willing to do. And he is willing to kill American citizens in order to see that his agenda, and only his agenda, is carried forward. As this gentleman said, he said, I only called you, Jim, because this is a crisis and I need your help.
I assume, since you haven't mentioned who this American military hero is, that you've promised not to divulge his name. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Why did he decide not to come forward himself?
Fear.
Of?
Fear for him and his family.
Of their own personal safety?
Their own personal safety. There's enough people who have died that have been close to Obama that he felt that nobody would be safe. No one, including him. So he knew that I was far enough afield, you know, because he knows I work in China. That's where my work is, and I live partly in Arizona and partly in Canada. I happen to be in Canada now. I'm a little harder to get a hold of.
Does he have any anticipation on when this might come to a head?
Well, it's coming to a head in small ways all around America right now. Where he believes treason is taking place, real treason, is where the media is not reporting what they know, because they know far more than they're letting on. In fact, the only people who are out there screaming blue murder are the alternative media, and of course some of them have, I guess, backed themselves into a corner where they're perceived to be a kind of dingbats or you know, way out there loonies. And yet, some of the information that they have is absolutely true.
What specific areas of treason are we talking about here?
Well, if in fact the media is the fifth estate, if it is in fact a safeguard, and that's what the founding fathers thought the media would be, it would be a safeguard, as would be the Second Amendment, the fact that the public could rise up against a regime where a dictator would try to come forward, or, as they worried about, a new king. You know, this is where they were headed. They did not want a new king, and wisely George Washington said no to the notion.
Why did you decide to come forth in such a public way?
Respect for him. Respect for America.
Where do you think it goes from here?
Well, as America goes, I'll tell you this, the world goes. The last bastion of freedom on the planet is America. And right now, America's not looking very good. People overseas who look to America as being the place, the dream that they could have and hold, and it was a possibility to escape their own environment, they're looking at America now and just, you know, they're shaken. They're shaken to the core. America's not what it used to be.
Based on what this military hero told you, are these conversations trying to weed out some generals from others coming directly from the White House? Is it coming from the top brass of the Pentagon? What's the protocol here?
Everything's coming out of the White House.
So these interviews are directly coming from the executive branch and from the West Wing?
They're being manipulated and planned and pushed by the White House, by the president himself and a lady named Valerie Jarrett.
She's one of the president's top advisors. Is there anything else that this person told you that you believe our listeners ought to know?
Get prepared. Get prepared. Never give up your arms.
That's certainly a major debate about to play out in a very public way here. Jim, thanks very much for your time today. We'll see where it goes from here.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Jim Garrow, he came in second place in the contest for the Nobel Peace Prize a number of years ago due to his amazing work trying to save the lives of baby girls who are often discarded in China as a result of the one-child policy. He is also the author of The Pink Pagoda, which describes his amazing work in that country. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.